greet you this morning in Jesus' name. Thankful to the Lord for His grace and His mercy that brings that light to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before You this morning, Lord, and we just need Your help, God, to open Your word, to understand it, to allow the light shine in our own hearts, Father, that we might reflect Your true light to this world, Lord. We pray, Father, for Your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we open Your word. Guide our hearts and thoughts and tongues this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. That song that we just sang is taken from Matthew chapter 5. I want to read that this morning. Matthew 5 and verse 13. I want you to notice this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is, as we will read, a commandment. It's not just something that's thrown out there for a suggestion. We put a lot of emphasis on being followers of Jesus, not just being religious or not just being saved, but truly being followers of our Lord and our King. Where Jesus said, many will call me Lord, Lord, and He'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Many, Jesus said, would. He asked the question, why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say? So I want us to take heed to this morning, that these are some of the things that He said we are to be. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? I want to ask you a question, something to think about this morning. Why was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? We've talked about the cause of why they turned so wicked. We know that they were full of homosexuals and living defiled, bankrupt of morality lives. But why was it destroyed? Most people say, well, that's why it was destroyed, because they'd become so wicked. We realize that the reason they had become so wicked was in Ezekiel. We read that it was because of pride, fullness of bread, and idleness of time. And they didn't strengthen the hand of the needy, the poor and needy. But why was it destroyed? That was fruit. Well, if you'll remember, Abraham asked God, God, if there's 50 righteous people in that country, will you destroy it? And God said no. And he said, well, what if there just lacks five of that and there's 45 of them? Will you destroy it? Then no, he wouldn't destroy it. And he got all the way down to 10. And he said, Lord, if there's 10 righteous men in that country, will you destroy it? And he said, no. But they couldn't be found. So why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? There was no salt in it. It was good for nothing but to be trodden under the feet of men. There was nothing left good in it. Jesus gives us the commandment to be the salt of the earth. The righteous, the godly, the holy is what preserves this earth. You can have the biggest, strongest army in the world. In fact, it was the picture of Rome. No one could defeat Rome spiritually or physically with an army. But Rome fell because of its own corruption. Rome, the city of Rome, fell because of, not because it wasn't strong, but because basically there was not many righteous people left in it. We find that throughout history. Sometimes the righteous are driven out of countries and they fall. And sometimes the righteous just fail themselves. That's the way it'll be at the end times, I believe. There's people out preaching that there's going to be a great revival at the end times. Well, I don't believe that for a minute. Jesus said, will I even find faith on the earth when I return? He said, watch. Watch and wait. He will return when you least expect it, he said. We're living in a time where things are happening so quickly right in front of our eyes, it's unbelievable what's going on in this world. Just one thing right after another. Almost makes you dizzy about how things are changing, sliding. Jesus is still going to return in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. And woe to be to those who are caught off guard. Woe be to those who are not found to be the salt of the earth, but just like the earth. It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You know, we don't have the customs sometimes that they do in the East. But there's hardly anything more offensive to someone in the East than to be trodden under their foot. You'll see pictures or sometimes videos of people taking, for instance, a picture of someone they hate and despise. They stomp their foot on it. They hate it. That's the biggest, the best way they can show their disgust to it. We remember a couple of years ago, some man took his shoe off and threw it at the president. That was the ultimate sign of disgust and belittling that they could do. Whenever you sat in the East, or in the Middle East, and you cross your legs, if you point the bottom of your foot towards somebody, they'll get offended at you. Because it appears to them that you're giving them the bottom of your foot. So whenever Jesus said the earth is good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men, that's as low as you can get. And without the righteous, this earth is as low as you can get. He said, you are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is a commandment. This is what a disciple of Jesus does. He's the salt of the earth, and he lets his light shine. If you're hiding your light, or you're hiding your good works, you're disobeying the Lord. It says, let your good works shine. That doesn't mean try to be as close to the world as you can get. That means you be as close to God as you can get. And let your light shine. Bible talks about a darkness that's on us. It's not coming. It's on us. To where light will hardly even penetrate the darkness. We're to be light anyway. Our light might it not extend very far, but we're to be light anyway. The darker it gets, the more light we ought to want to be. People tell us all the time, oh, the world's changing. We got to change. The world's changing. Well, God hasn't. And his light hasn't. The darkness has. And it's gotten darker and darker. We are to be an example to the world. Not just a quiet example, but a bold example. Not just a pattern, but someone to be followed. Almost everyone can come up with answers or come up with seeing the problems. A lot of people see the problems. We need to have answers. We need to be living as answers to the world's problems. Fathers, men, you can teach your children till you're blue in the face. You can talk about God, or you can talk about the world. Your children need a hero to follow. The world will give them one if you won't. They need to see someone who is worthy to be followed. And they are watching you. They're watching you. They need to see a firm foundation. Someone to follow. And they'll follow you. Be careful where you lead them. Be careful where you lead them. Because they will follow. Someone is watching each one of you. Fathers, be worthy to be followed. Be worthy to be followed. Wives, support your husbands. Point your children to make a hero out of their father. You point out his faults all the time, and that's all the children will see. That's all they'll see. But you point out his goodness, and they might catch some of that. But they're going to follow something. You better give them something to follow, because they're going to follow something. While you have the opportunity, give them something to follow. You show them godliness, and they might just find godliness. You show them the world, and they will find the world. You have a slim chance that they'll find godliness if you're an example to them that way. But I will guarantee you, if you follow the world, they will follow you. Women, lift up your husbands to be worthy to be followed. Women, lift up your daughters. Be an example to be followed. They're watching you. Older women, the younger women are following. They're watching. They're watching. Somebody's watching you. Older brothers, somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Older sisters, somebody's watching you. You might think they're a pest because they always want to be around you. Why do you think they want to be around you? Because they want to be like you. And one of these days when you stand before God and they get thrown into hell and you get thrown in with them, they're going to say, I followed you. And you're going to know you are the one that led them there. Because they followed you. And they will. And they are. If you're godly, they might follow you being godly. But if you introduce them to things they shouldn't be introduced to, you teach them to love things they shouldn't, they will do that. Don't worry about it. They will. You are the salt of the earth. before we can be the salt of the earth, we need to be salt. And once we're salt and we're light, we can be salt and light in our own family or in our own home. And once we're salt and light in our own home, we can be salt and light in the church. And when we're salt and light in the home and in the church, we can be salt and light in the world around us. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? It's worthless. Look at the world. Look at the way the people live. There's only one thing worth living for is eternity. There's nothing here that this world has to offer. Look at all the heroes of the world. And go down through and look how many of them died because they were on drugs, because this world didn't offer them nothing. How many of them killed themselves? Because there's nothing here. Emptiness. Nothing but earth to be trodden under. Don't waste your life on it. Be some salt. Be light in darkness. There's so many things that you can be light in. You don't have to go around being a policeman, pointing out everything wrong everyone is doing. But whenever you come around, they ought to know where you stand on things. It doesn't take much. You don't have to talk to everyone you see, because you talk to a few of them and they'll tell everyone you see. Whenever we're in the world and we're what we're supposed to be, and people know it, they start watching what they say whenever you're around. They start watching what they talk about whenever you're around. Might not seem like much, but it's salt. And it's light. That's all it takes. There's just a little bit of shame whenever you're around. They ought to know that whenever you're around, that they don't talk about the things that they used to. They ought to feel ashamed about what they might see or do, or how they're acting. Somebody's watching. We need to be a pure example of someone to follow. I want to go over to verse 27. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. If a man looks upon a woman and lusts after her, he's committed adultery. I just want to challenge you with the idea this morning to be the salt of the earth. Pornography is in everything there is in this world. They use pornography to sell tennis shoes, to sell car parts. To sell everything. It's all around us. Men, show your disgust at it. Don't grin at it. Don't chuckle at it. Show your disgust with it. There's no shame. It's on the computer. It's on the TV. Stay away from it. Pornography is adultery. Avoid it. It's there. You can't keep from seeing it once in a while. But do all you can to avoid it. And show your disgust for it. If you don't say nothing, get a frown on your face when you see it. Hold something over your eyes whenever one of them walks by so they know you're not looking at them. Make them feel ashamed. They're trying to drag your soul to hell. They hate you, no matter how sweet they sound. They hate you. The magazines, the checkout counters, just going to Walmart, the way people dress. Be the salt of the earth. The radio. The music, it's constantly there, talking about lust, inciting you. It's not good for you, it hates you. The churches. You know, it's not being people often say, well, the women, well, first of all, I guess that's what men's part is in this. Look at it like they're hating you. And have some salt. And be some light. Women, people often say, well, what is modesty? What is modesty? There can be a lot of arguments about what is modesty or what is the line. Brother John told someone the other night, that's not what it's about. He said, you might be a question of whether something's modesty or not. Modest. But when you're modest, there's no question about it. When you're modest, there is no question. If you're half and half, someone might question if that's modest enough. But you get yourself modest, and there'll nobody question whether you're modest enough or not. Let the world worry about where the lines are. Let the churches trying to keep people propped up, writing rules about modesty, try to define where the lines are. You dress modest and don't worry about the rules. Be above them. Because when you're modest, there's no question about it. Just like when you're godly, there's no question about it. When you're the light, there's no question about it. But if you're over in the middle somewhere, oh, sometimes he kind of goes along with the jokes. Sometimes he kind of just goes along with us. That's about like a woman almost dressing modestly. A woman, it's not being naked that entices a man. I don't know how many people I've seen. They'll wear a big long dress or a long skirt and then have a split up about halfway. Just giving a little peek here and there. Just giving a little peek. That does about as much to entice a man as being half naked. Just those little peeks. Just showing the form here and there. It's enticing. It's alluring to men. You may not think so, but somebody's watching you. And it might be someone you never expected. Just like someone's watching you, whether you're living godly or whether you're not. Somebody's watching you. Be modest, and then there won't be any question about it. Your brothers need your help. Don't be a hindrance. Love them. Love them. Love your neighbor. That's the commandment that Jesus gave. Gave two commandments and everything hangs on them. Love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Modesty is not some strict rule that God's just trying to put on that you have to obey. It's loving your neighbor. If a woman dressing drags a man's soul to hell, she hates him. If she loves him, if she loves her neighbor, like Jesus told us to do, there's not going to be any question about whether she's modest or not. You are the salt of the earth. It don't matter what people think. If we're trying to please God, so what if you may look a little extreme to the world? The world's in darkness. The world's only hope is for someone to be its light. Without the salt, the earth is good for nothing. Do you know what kind of pressure or what kind of position that places the salt to be in? The whole world is on your shoulders. The whole world is depending on you to be light. They think we're worthless. They think we're troublemakers. They think we hate them. We're the only thing that stands between them and destruction. The salt is the only thing that's standing between them and destruction. And you're it. You're it. May the Lord add his blessings. Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning. Lord, help us to be this salt. Lord, we look at ourselves and we see the insufficiency of the responsibility and the call that you've put upon us. Lord, help us just do our part. Just to be salt and to be light. In Jesus' name, amen.